This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore's Inner Harbor started to take a new shape 40 years ago when the National Aquarium opened in 1981, 8 years later. Then-Mayor William Donald Schaefer, who was the driving force behind transforming the old industrial area into a tourist attraction and economic hub, spoke to WBAL about what the National Aquarium would mean.
It will bring people here from all over the world. There isn't any question about that. But I think the people in the city know it's their aquarium. It's their aquarium. They voted for it. They paid for it. And they're the ones that will primarily benefit from it.
More than 30 years later, Baltimoreans are still benefiting from the National Aquarium, and they benefit from the millions of tourism dollars that the Inner Harbor brings to the city. The city and some civic leaders have created a plan they say will help ensure the Inner Harbor continues to attract tourists and their pocketbooks to the city for years to come. It's the first big proposed overhaul since the Inner Harbor was first dreamt up 40 years ago. And with us to talk about it is Donald Fry, President and CEO of the Greater Baltimore Committee. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Why now?
Why now? Because we actually have seen a deterioration over a number of years. We first wrote about it back in 2003, some concerns we saw, some basic things just with upkeep and maintenance, benches, lights, and we said that someone needed to be putting day-to-day attention to the harbor. It didn't seem like that was happening. At that time, Mayor O'Malley took heed to those comments and appointed someone in charge of the Inner Harbor as an Inner Harbor coordinator. That continued for a while. Subsequently, the Waterfront Partnership of Baltimore was formed to put more definitive steps to making sure that the harbor is up to its capacity. And they've done a great job, and we've seen a lot of new programming. But the reality is that the harbor is 30 years old. The Inner Harbor is 30 years old. It's been a jewel of the city for so many years, but after a while, we need to do something to refreshen it, to give it a facelift, and now is the time to do that so we don't fall behind what other cities are doing.
Are we already falling behind?
We are falling behind. At one time when the Inner Harbor was created, it was the pinnacle of urban waterfront development. No longer is it that pinnacle. Other cities came, other countries came and copied what we've done. They far exceeded us, and now we need to make sure we put some attention to it. It's overdue, long overdue that we give that attention.
So what are you talking about doing? What needs to be done?
Well, I think there's a number of things. Some of it is low-hanging fruit. Some of it is to make sure that we have consistency with respect to benches, consistency with respect to lighting, that we make sure everything is upkeep to proportion. But then there's also some new areas that have been underutilized in the past we need to be paying some attention to.
You're talking about actual physical spaces.
Actual physical spaces
around the
themselves.
Harbor.
Yeah, one
like
of the most logical one is Rash Field. If you think of Rash Field, it's the area between the Maryland Science Center and the Rusty Scupper. It goes from the promenade back to Key Highway. It's about 7.5 acres of land. Waterfront land. If you think of Bryant Park in New York City, if you think of Conservatory Park in New York City, those are 5.5 acres. We have a great opportunity to be a great urban park right on the waterfront. And right now, although I have nothing against beach volleyball, that's all it's being used for right now. And we need to make sure we put that to maximum use.
But there's a lot of energy sometimes in that area.
Well, we think there's still going to be a lot of energy in that area. We see opportunities for playgrounds. We see opportunities for sculpture gardens. We see opportunities for an open space in that area where you can have performances on the stage. You could have movies at night. You could have athletic activities still taking place. There'd be opportunities for people to rent kayaks and go out on the water, all kinds of opportunities. So we still see it as an active place, but not limited from a seasonal perspective or not limited to just one activity.
So what else besides Rash Field?
I think some of the concerns we have are the areas behind the pavilions, the Light Street and the Pratt Street Pavilion at the Inner Harbor. They attract a lot of attention and a lot of visitors to them on a really regular basis. But when you're on Pratt Street or Light Street, you're actually looking at the back of the buildings. So we'd like to look at a concept where Light Street would be straightened out, and you would end up putting some more open space behind the Light Street Pavilion so you could literally hide the back door, the loading dock areas, and the same a little bit with Pratt Street. But you'd end up making a much more attractive perspective on it and also provide people an opportunity to walk along the Light Street area. This would require change in and where McKeldin Plaza sits right now. We would get rid of the fountain at McKeldin Plaza, create a more open space area there, a broader plaza concept for entrance into the harbor itself. This has to go through some transportation studies. The City of Baltimore Department of Transportation has agreed to conduct an independent analysis to see whether or not straightening out Light Street would in fact affect traffic downtown in a negative way, that this would not be acceptable. We think it has tremendous promise.
I suspect some listeners are hearing you describe these various amenities and thinking, yeah, but what I'm worried about when I'm around the Inner Harbor is crime.
Well, obviously, public safety is a major concern of any place and any place in the city. It's particularly of concern to a lot of us in the downtown area with the amount of tourism that goes on and the concerns and the businesses that take place. But that's, unfortunately, we can't tolerate crime any place in the city. I think the mayor and the police commissioner understand the importance of making sure that this is a safe place for people to come, not only from the city, but also from outside the city.
Producer Matt Purdy visited the Inner Harbor yesterday. He spoke with Lasse Hiesberg, the commanding officer of the Statsraad Lehmkuhl, a Norwegian sailing vessel that's moored at the Inner Harbor. He's docked in Baltimore a handful of times. Here's his perspective on the Inner Harbor.
Baltimore is my favorite port. Oh, from except from my home port, of course, in Bergen. But Baltimore is fantastic, especially this Inner Harbor. It is fantastic to dock right on the pier.
But he was less enthusiastic about a proposed footbridge that would run across the Patapsco from the Federal Hillside to the harbor east side.
I think that's a bad idea if that means that big ships not can visit your inner harbor anymore. I think that's a bad idea.
Did Commanding Officer Hiesberg get the right impression about what the pedestrian footbridge would do?
I don't think he does have the right perspective of what's going to footbridge will do. Actually, we've certainly considered that. The tall ships have always been a great attraction to the Inner Harbor. In fact, that was really probably the catalyst to really make the Inner Harbor the tourist attraction that it is when tall ships came years ago. This would be a pedestrian bridge. It would, at the peak of it, it would be 50 feet high, but it would be a movable bridge like a drawbridge, but turn more like a turnstile. So it would open up and look, the tall ships and some of the military ships that come into town would be able to pass through and still dock right at the Inner Harbor.
What's it going to cost to build a bridge like that?
At this time, we don't have the full estimates on that. It's probably somewhere of a low of $30 million, a high of $60 million. They're done across the country in different locations. Overseas are done a lot. We need to look at a lot of different, take a lot of different things into consideration as to how frequently we have those ships coming in, how often they would have to open up that pedestrian bridge. But we think it's an exciting project. This is a project that the Greater Baltimore Committee included in one of our proposals back in 2011 dealing with the Rash Field renovation, and we put it online, and we ended up getting incredible response, positive response, hardly any negative response. People think it's a great opportunity to link the south side of Baltimore Harbor to the north side of the harbor and also actually completes the loop around the harbor. We recognize that we don't want to cut off the opportunities for tall ships visiting us, so we're looking to see if we can do that in a way that would address his concerns. So we'd certainly love to have him come back regularly, and we're glad to hear that he loves the port.
On WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Donald Fry, President and CEO of the Greater Baltimore Committee. His group, the Waterfront Partnership, the city and the state commissioned a plan to revitalize the Inner Harbor. Let me ask you the cost question about the whole thing. How much will all these things you're talking about cost?
Yeah. That seems what the question that everyone is asking, and quite honestly, we do not have an answer right now. We're trying to get some ideas and put that together. This is not the type of project that's going to be done in a short period of time. We certainly see this happening over at period of at least a decade or more. We're probably going to be looking at federal dollars, be looking for some state dollars. We're going to be looking for contributions from the city, private sector foundations, both local and national. So I don't think we can put a price tag on anything right now, but we are taking that next step to see exactly what all the costs would be.
Let me try to understand that a bit better, though. Conceptually, how much of this do you think is going to be from tax money, and how much from either business or donations to nonprofits?
Percentage-wise, I can't give you a specific number, but the Inner Harbor is one that it brings great benefit to the city and to the state. There's 14 million people who visit it on a regular basis. It supports 21,000 jobs in the tourism industry and produces over $100 million in taxes, both state and local taxes. So I think the government will certainly have a part of it. But we also think that there's great opportunities in here for private sector and foundation contributions.
A longstanding complaint, as you know, from community activists is that the city directs too much of its resources to the Inner Harbor and not enough to neighborhoods around the city. Why should we invest more in the Inner Harbor?
Well, I certainly understand the concerns that neighborhoods may express, but the Inner Harbor is an economic engine for the entire city, and as I just indicated, produces over $100 million of tax dollars that come in through various sales taxes and things of that nature that would not be otherwise. So it does help fund the city coffers that do go into the neighborhoods in the long run. So it's really not a neighborhood versus downtown or harbor debate. The fact is that we need both strong neighborhoods, but we also need a very strong downtown. We need to have a strong Inner Harbor. It is one of our key economic engines for the city of Baltimore.
So how would you expect this to unfold? What would happen next?
I think that we're certainly looking at projects from a priority perspective, and we think that Rash Field should be the first priority moving forward. We're going to start looking at what the costs are with respect to Rash Field, try to get some initial planning money to go more detail with respect to parking over on that side, and also some of the sections that we talked about. I mentioned a playground area. We mentioned our sculpture gardens, those types of things. Get some real numbers on that. The mayor has requested $3 million of the governor for this year and also for the next 2 years after this, for a total of $9 million for the next 3 years in capital budget money to start this process moving forward. So we're hopeful that we can look at bits and pieces of it, and Rash Field is the first priority. But then there are other sections we think that even private owners of property, when they see the opportunities that are presented in this plan, may want to step up efforts and do some planning there, and they move forward with some suggested ideas and maybe ways of funding some of those as we move along.
You've mentioned some survey responses you got, some public comments you've received, but will the public have a chance to weigh in on this overall plan?
Well, this is going to have obviously go through various steps in city government process, through the planning process. So the planning board, planning commission of Baltimore City will have a chance to approve various steps along the way, and those are always opportunities for public comment.
I appreciate you talking to us about it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you
very much.
Donald Frye is president and CEO of the Greater Baltimore Committee, which helped fund a new long-term plan to revitalize the Inner Harbor. We have a link to the Inner Harbor plan at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, trying a new way to ward off foreclosures. Stay with us on 88.1.